Bendecete, that not of yourself. You're not here of yourself. But my divine destiny and purpose has been working things behind the scenes for your restoration, says the Spirit of grace. I've brought you, and I'm bringing you forward. If you'll yield to me, you'll find the answers, and you'll find the restoration, says the Spirit of grace. Onda karesete. Mende oro karesete. Minde sio alech ine yede. On your journey, sometimes, to places where you felt that I've not been there. I've always been there, says the Lord. And I've raised you up and brought you into this house to restore, to bring back those places that I placed in you of years gone by, says the Spirit of grace. So yield your hearts, yield your minds, yield your bodies. I'll do a fresh work inside of you, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Would you just slip up a hand or two and just magnify him. I glorify you. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Jesus. 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 Adekoroso. You're in a good place, Harry. Just stay there. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where your challenge is or what you're going through. He does. And maybe a lot of different things. But as I was praying yesterday, this verse came up a couple of times, and it's out of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Paul was writing to the Corinthian church, and he says this: while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In other words, the question is this morning is, what are you looking at? And what are you focused on? Is it the truth of the Word of God about what God's Word says about who you are and about your circumstances? He spoke to you this morning, which was an unplanned prophecy, and said to all of us, and many of you are here, that he's brought you here for a purpose. And that purpose is restoration. That purpose is renewal. That purpose is getting your eyes off of whatever has distracted you to this point in time and abated and kept back your spiritual walk. But he has something greater for you this morning. The Amplified says this. Paul said, same verse. It says, since we consider and look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, means they're temporary, brief and fleeting. But the things that are invisible are deathless, they never end, which is the spiritual things of God and everlasting. I have this down in my notes, and I'll just read it as I wrote it down. We must see. You and I, as spiritual, if you've been born again, if you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, to take the next step and to continue to go further in him, no matter where you're at, whether you're walking in a close place or whether you're just coming back from an unfamiliar walk, you've not been walking where you think that is the best. You and I have to look past into a place where we see the unseen. Get past the moment in time. Whatever your challenge is today, you've got to get past it and He has an answer for you, and that is the power of God. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. We must see into the unseen realm to see the spiritual war that is against us. And I should have said to start with, this message is in relevance to a spiritual war. Now, for those of you that are here this morning, and I don't know how many might be watching, you're just coming into the kingdom of God. And maybe you've just recently been born again. God has a plan for your life, an incredible plan. Some of you, a lot of you that are in here this morning, have been exposed to hearing recently in this church us pray in other tongues. And we preach that a lot around here. Your step, your first step after being born again into destiny and purpose is to get on the escalator of praying in other tongues. Because the Bible says us that tells us in Romans 8:26 that He makes intercession for us. The Holy Spirit begins to pray for us. The moment that you and I get born again, I think we need to have a call at the end of the service for anybody that wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the moment that you begin to, it's one thing to come and appreciate the Word of God, and that's good. But the moment that you begin to step over into that place where you allow the Holy Spirit, this baptism, there's a second work of grace. There's a second place where the Holy Spirit takes us to. Born again gets you to heaven. If any man be in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he becomes a new creation. Any man, any woman. That's the start that frees you from sin. But then the next thing that he wants is to baptize you with his Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, you begin a journey of power, a journey of destiny, because as you pray out the mysteries of God, as you give yourself over to praying in other tongues, the Holy Spirit starts a journey. It's like you're stepping on that escalator at that moving sidewalk at the airport, and he's taking you someplace. All you have to do is get on it. Can you say praise the Lord? Paul said we have to look not at the things that are seen, because the things that are seen, they're temporal. They're for the purpose of distracting you from making advancements into the kingdom of God. This is our victory, is to execute in the dark. The spirits of darkness, and by the way, there is a world out there. This morning we have an inhabitable presence of the Holy Spirit. How many of you felt his presence already this morning? And I can tell you, not only is the Holy Spirit here, but his angelic host is here. From front to back, they're here in this place. But there's also a warfare against the saints, because we're going into a place we call revival. And by the way, why don't you help me out this morning, because we haven't heard it in just a little, in a while. Would you say with me, I say that Immokalee is in revival. The blind see. The lame walk. The deaf hear. The dumb speak. The dead are raised. Demoniacs are set free. Maimed are made whole. And thousands are born again in this outpouring. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. The enemy will start a warfare from the very beginning against any church that ever begins to call out for this outpouring. And it seems like, and I have this, as I said, the spirits of darkness can see us because they're in that spiritual realm and fighting against us, but we can't see them. And it seems like a disadvantage, except that we have X-ray vision. Hallelujah. And our X-ray vision is what we receive and perceive by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit is our one that shows us and guides us. The Lord directed my attention to a prophecy that we received here just a few weeks ago. Well, it's been in September, the end of September, excuse me. And the Lord said these words to us, and it just goes along with what he's saying here this morning. the spiritual battle versus the natural. This was September 28th. He said, for most of my church, many that are standing here as well as beloved to me still believe. They still believe that their trial has something to do with the natural. If they could fix this, see, some of you think if I could fix my wife or if I could fix my husband, come on somebody, or if I could fix my boss or if I could fix my pastor, I love him, but man, he's, you know, there's some things about him I'd really like to fix. If they could fix this or if they could fix that or improve that or go to the next level, things would be fixed. And there's a certain fact in that, the Lord said. But I say unto you this day and behind the scenes of your deepest trials, whatever your deepest trials are, the Lord says this, whatever the trial, the affliction, or spiritual thing that you're taking place, that's taking place in a, it's taking place in a realm, he said, a realm that you will never, that will never be fixed in the natural. Can't be fixed in the natural. It will never be addressed unless I have your spiritual authority. As long as you battle in the flesh, these things will never be settled. But you'll go from one thing to the next, he says, no matter. But I'm offering you grace today, says the Spirit of grace, that no matter where you're at or no matter where your walk is at, that if you will yield to my grace and say yes to my grace and begin to participate with my grace coming to you today, then I will work with that authority behind the scenes in a realm, in realms where darkness is fighting you and you've yet to recognize that darkness as the culprit and not the natural things. But know this today, that I'm asking of you and I'm imploring you and I'm leaning towards you, he says, or leaning to you. I want to bring you forward in victory. Together, you and I will walk through the door into places where I bring you into a wide place. Not a narrow place, but a wide place where there is plenty of grace and mountains of grace, says the Spirit of grace, for those who will participate and offer your hearts and your body and your mind this day, says the Spirit of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The reason why Paul was instructing and saying this verse that we just read, because earlier in the chapter, he says this in 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Listen to this. We're troubled on every side and yet not distressed. We are perplexed and not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Christ might be made manifest in our body. Hallelujah. Listen to what the Amplified says, because it's even more, and then we're going to talk about something in just a moment. Why this is important to you today. However, he says in verse 7 in the Amplified, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel. That's the divine light, the gospel, the truth inside of us, in a frail human vessel of earth, that the grandeur and the exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be from God and not from us. Listen to what Paul says. Now, I don't know what your situation is today. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know where you're coming from and how you got here, although I know we heard from the Lord that you're here by purpose. But Paul was saying this to the Corinthians, and this is why he said that we look not at natural things, because he came to this place and he said, we're hedged in often, pressed on every side, troubled and oppressed in every way, but not cramped or crushed. We suffer embarrassment You know, Paul went through a whole lot of different things, but he was talking to a church. And you may not be on the forefront where you're out there in persecution, but what is going on in your personal life? What's going on where you work? What's going on in your family? What is it that you can't express to somebody? What is it that you would like to talk about, but you can't talk about? What are the things that seem to hedge you in and kind of fix you in a place where you're like, yeah, I put on a good front. The Holy Spirit wants you to know this, that if you'll employ grace and that you'll begin to look to Him, that this morning He says this, that even though you suffer and are perplexed, Paul said perplexed and able at times hardly to find a way out, but he said not driven to despair. Now, what kind of paradoxical thing can this possibly be, that there could be things in your, there could be such things in your life where it seems like it presses you to a place of being out of measure? What about the infirmity of your body? What about the thing that just seems like it won't go away night and day and night and day? Is this applicable? Absolutely. It seems to be that there's, what's the way out? And Paul says, because of this divine peace that we're able to receive and look not at the natural things, we take our eyes off of that and say, Lord, as long as I focus on this natural thing, it's only going to pull me down. But if I look to the spiritual things, that even when I'm pressed out of sorts, as he's saying here, that I can find this, thing that seems like even like a paradox, like how can this be? We're pursued, we're persecuted, hard driven, but not deserted. We're not deserted. Hallelujah. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Can you say I'm not deserted?
I'm not deserted.
We're struck down to the ground, but never struck out. And not destroyed. He says this, always bearing about in the body the liability and exposure to the same putting to death that the Lord Jesus suffered, so that the resurrection life of Jesus might be made manifest or may be shown forth in our bodies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands with me for just a moment. We just worship you, Jesus. Your presence, Lord. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. So worthy, Jesus. I remember Pastor Dave Roberson, my pastor, he would often talk about the matador principle. He would talk about, he'd share a parable basically, or not a parable, but the example that if you ever went to a bullfight, none of us probably never have, but if you ever were at a bullfight in Spain, that all these thousands of people sitting in the Colosseum, and of course there's a matador comes out, hat, vest, really fancy pants, and his objective is to entertain the crowd by letting a 2,000 pound bull charge him. But he charges not him, he charges a red cape. And so it's amazing, and I've never been to one. I've seen some enactments on movies and stuff. But the amazing thing is that this 2,000, let's say a 2,000 pound animal carries on this bullfight with this matador. And this matador is 150 pounds and the bull's 2,000 pounds. The equation of any equation possible is that the bull should absolutely eat up, destroy, kill the matador. But the matador has one advantage. He keeps the bull occupied. with a distraction. And that distraction is usually a red cape. Something that keeps him focused on what is not the true enemy. As long as he believes that that red cape is his, as long as he believes that the red cape is his enemy, the circumstance of life, whatever you're going through, behind the scenes is an unseen. As long as you focus on that, as long as the matador keeps this, then he toys with a 2,000-pound incredible machine, an ominous machine, living machine, that has the ability to kill him at any time. But his distraction is, and at some point, the kill is made. And it never should be. Why? Because the bull believes that this is his enemy. And this is the message this morning. As long as we keep our eyes on the natural and don't go into a place where we look into the unseen, what God has provided for you is victory. Amen. Victory. Can you say victory? Victory in my marriage. Oh, praise God. Let's say it all together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you will say later, I wish I'd have said that. I say victory in my marriage. Well, mine's not bad, Pastor. Well, go ahead and say it again. Victory in my marriage. Hallelujah. Victory in my finances. Victory in my body. Victory in my family. I say that my body is healed. I will no longer look at the circumstances. I will not go after the matador's cape. I'll go after the enemy that is behind the scenes. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. There's an example in 2 Kings chapter 6. I won't read it. I'll just, because it was shared with me yesterday in a good way, how Elisha and Gehazi, his servant, came to a place where they were surrounded by the Syrians. And if you read that whole story out of 2 Kings, it's quite amazing, because Elisha is the protege of Elijah, and he's trained under him, and he's a powerful prophet. The king of Syria is making war against Israel, and he's wanting to destroy Israel, and he keeps sending out troops to catch them in ambushments, but Elisha keeps sending, you know, prophetic words to the captain of the Israeli army and say, don't go over there, go over here, don't go over here. And finally, the king is so exasperated of the Syrians, or the Syrians, he says, what is going on? Somebody's a traitor in my bunch. Somebody's not, you know, somebody's sending messages to the king of Israel. And somebody said, no, that's not it. They told him, they said, there's a prophet in Israel. His name is Elisha. And whatever you speak in private, even in your bedchamber, even in your bedroom, this guy's picking up on it. That's pretty, hallelujah. He's telling everything. So he says, whatever you're speaking, whatever you're saying. So he says, well, then we'll get him. So he sends out a whole army to surround where they're at. And they're in this place called, I believe it's Dothan. And they're in this city, and they're there. And the enemy, I don't know, maybe thousands. I don't know if thousands, hundreds. They surround them. And when Gehazi gets up, his servant, in the morning to go out to get firewood to make coffee. So he goes out, and he comes back in, and he says, Master, there's an army out there. They've surrounded us. And then Elisha says something that's pretty incredible, and it's more than just words. It's what we need to look into the spirit realm this morning and say, we can't see them, but they're there. We don't look at the temporal things. But if God could open your eyes this morning, you could see into a spirit realm, and there are angelic hosts in this house. There is an atmosphere for miracles. God has a plan for your life. And Gehazi said, what are we going to do? And Elisha says this. He gives him an incredible announcement that sounded like, I don't know that this is true. He said, there's more for us. There's more here presently for us than are against us. And Gehazi says, let's see. I'm one, you're two, you're, okay. How can that be? Because there's thousands out there. There's thousands. And he says, God, then Elisha says, open his eyes. Open his eyes. And when his eyes got opened, he could see that the mountains were full of chariots of fire, angels all around him. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a spiritual vision, but I can tell you this morning that if you can look past wherever your circumstances are this morning and look into a spiritual realm and say, God has brought me here. I'm telling you, even as I'm saying this, that some of you that prophecy was for, the enemy's trying to dull that. He's trying to make that seem something obscure, something foggy. It doesn't really make sense. Really, you know, I don't know about that. But listen, you're here for a purpose. And you may go out of here and I may not see you again for a while, but God loves you. That's the greatest thing that you need to know. And he's not giving up on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's working with all of our families. He loves you. If there's anything that we want you to know in this church and in this place and looking through the camera this morning, Jesus loves you. Hallelujah. He loves you. He looked up, and Gehazi looked up, and he said, I see it now. I see it now. My eyes are open. The mountains are full. See, the mountains are full around your life too. The availability is there. So whether you will look and see what God has for you. We're gonna pray here in just a moment. I just want to give an invitation in just a moment. Let me finish with this. Romans 8 says this. You don't have to turn there. But it's Romans 8:32. You can, but he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Hallelujah. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Hallelujah. If he didn't spare Jesus, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. Yes, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. You know, this is amazing. Early in this chapter, it tells us that the Holy Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings and prayer and praying in other tongues. But here in this last part of this chapter, it says that Jesus also is making intercession for us. Hallelujah. Thank God. It says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Is there any place where tribulation will ever get you separated from the love of Christ? Absolutely not. The answer to all these questions is absolutely not. Shall distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, in other words, coming to extreme poverty or peril or sword, as it is written, Paul said this, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But no, nay, in all these things We are more than conquerors. More than conquerors, he said, through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, I hope this is your persuasion this morning. Would you stand with me? Would you say this with me? I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels or principalities or powers or things present or things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. We worship you. Hallelujah. Harry, lead us in something. Yes, it's good. Prayer of any sort, we're here for you. But if you're here this morning and you've not been filled with the Spirit, I just encourage you, take that step. We pray for you. And if we pray for you, believe with you, I believe this morning is the morning you'll be filled. Hallelujah. Let's just worship God just a little bit more. If there's anybody that wants prayer this morning for these things, just come forward right now. Just step out. Anybody. Hallelujah, Jesus. Even if you need prayer for physical, it's available. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and magnify it. Glorify you, Jesus. in Jesus' name, this sickness that's against his daughter right now, as you lay hands on her when you're home, I command in the name of Jesus, this sickness go out of her body now. Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Mendicus. Release it. Congestion. Jesus' name. Mendicus.
Worship
all through you. Hallelujah. Can feel his presence and his power coming right now in the name of Jesus. There he is. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Whew. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Glory. All the way through. All the way through. Jesus' name. Linda Caruso. Healing virtue, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Elders, come up here and pray with you. Come on now. Hallelujah. I should have invited you earlier. Stand up, goodness. I'd be with you. Come on. Ralph, come on. You guys, step out. Ralph, come on. You guys need to step out. Step out. Rex, Marshall.
To the King of Kings, you are holy.
wonderful time, presence, glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Exalt you. We just bless those that are out there, Lord, that are watching, receiving healings in their bodies, restoration. We release the power of God to them. We exalt you, Jesus. We exalt you, Jesus. You're the King of Kings. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. All is yours. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Have a wonderful day. We will no church tonight. We're resting during this season and just having family time, but we will be back in January. We'll see many of you Wednesday night. I pray you're all blessed. Have a wonderful holiday. It's coming, of course. And thank you for coming this morning. We love you all. Blessings. Amen.